Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know there is power in corporate anointing. Corporate anointing, joining together, people joining together to try and accomplish something which one person can't accomplish on their own, perhaps because they are not at that level of faith or for any other reason. Amen? And that's why sometimes you have to actually apply corporate anointing to get certain things done. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll listen to a story when I was listening to some old messages from Kenneth Hagin, and he said there was this pastor who, he said that in his church, in so many years, decades that he had pastored, they had never buried any child, they had never buried any teenager, they had never buried any middle-aged person. All the people who died in his church were people who had lived what was considered to be their full life. Not a single person died before their time. And he was saying that the secret to that was because every time they would hear somebody is sick, the church would just gather together without even any calling and start praying for that person. And the person would always get well. Amen? Now, of course, you can get well so many other ways that the scripture talks about, through the anointing and so on. But that is one way that people who are sick can actually get well, when people gather together, and it's some kind of intercessory prayer, because it's a prayer you pray for somebody who perhaps would not get healed on their own. But when people join their faith together, it gets things done. That's what we are trying to do that's what we did last Friday when we were asking people who are sick. Is there anybody who has a testimony from last Friday of the people whose relatives were sick? Anybody? Anyway, it's the first time we are doing it. Now we are going to continue doing it, that if you have any relative, whether they are here or not here, they can come or what, we are going to apply the corporate anointing. And you see, it says in James chapter 5, James chapter 5, verse 14 says, Is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. But now verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. These are different things. There is the one of calling and the anointing, but then there is this one of the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Praise the Lord. Now, there is a reason why he talks about sins here. You know, there is a lot of people who get sick because they are condemned. They feel guilty. So the guilt makes them get sick. Remember the man whom they took through the roof to bring down before Jesus for healing, the paralyzed man, when the people were carrying him tore through the roof to bring him down. What did Jesus say? He said, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, that was the first thing he had to say before he administered healing, because I'm sure he perceived that was necessary. But now, here it says, when Jesus saw the assay, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, the man did not come there to have his sins forgiven. He came there to be healed. But that was part of it. The forgiving of the sins was part of it, and I'm sure the Lord saw that he had to, minister to him that way. But my point is, let's go back to the other one. Now it says, the prayer of faith will save the sick. It specifically says the prayer of faith, because there are so many kinds of prayer, and especially religion has made prayer some kind of ritualistic thing. But they are not praying. It's not a prayer of faith. They are not expecting anything. They are just, that's if they even pray. But my point is, even when they do, even when you go to these radio shows, they say, greet Buza, they are not praying. Okay, they may be saying some sort of prayer, some words of prayer. But the point is, it's not a prayer of faith. Now, a prayer of faith, you have to believe that God is going to do something because of your prayer. It's not just an idle prayer. It's not a ritualistic prayer. It's not a religious prayer. It is a prayer where you have total, complete expectation that something is going to happen. And it is based on scripture. It says that a prayer of faith will save the sick and God will raise them up. Okay? If they're on their sick bed, God will raise them up. It doesn't mean raise them up in resurrection. No. Otherwise, you'll be praying for them to die. No. We're praying for them to be healed so that they are lifted up from what? From their sick bed and they are healed. Praise the Lord. Now, there are people here who have had, you know, people who are sick and they told me and you pray for them. Praise the Lord. You pray for them. And I'll tell you this, that it is a very powerful means by which people who do not have the faith to get healed on their own can get healed. I was seeing, there was a video of somebody interviewing a man who had been like so atheist and so on. And then the man was saying that he's now born again. So she was asking him that, how did you get born again? Then he told her that he got sick. He had some sort of sickness. And they gave him 1 month to live. So he went home and he resigned himself. But his mother was a believer. And she had a group of elderly ladies who were prayerful people. Who knew what it means to have a prayer of faith. So he went and told his mother that I've been given a month to live. He was actually even urinating blood and so on. He was really going down. So the mother took him before her group of prayer people and sat him there. And they prayed for him. And he stopped urinating blood, stopped what? He went to the doctor. They told him, no, we don't know why we told you. Are you sure we told you you're going to die? We don't even know why we said it. Like, it was a complete miracle. And even the doctors ruled it was a miracle because they had the tests. And he had this. This is somebody who didn't even believe. Praise the Lord. So the pastor doesn't have to be a believer. He just has to have believers praying communally for them. You understand? And you see, these communal prayers have been used for negative reasons before. And I know it. I remember there was a certain church I used to attend and I left it. And you know those stupid people who say that, God, you, whatever, everybody who left this church, let them kusirana and what? Eh? Like, that's stupidity of the highest order. The only person more stupid than that, you know, I would say. But the point is, it's total stupidity. Are you the one who told him to come there? That he's not supposed to leave? You see, so anyway, so I left. And they gathered together and started saying those prayers. Then, so many things can happen, by the way. Because what happens is those prayers, God doesn't answer them. But you actually open the route for the devil to answer your prayers. Because you see, the Holy Spirit cannot answer prayers that are not within his nature to answer. You cannot make the Holy Spirit do something which he doesn't want to do. You understand? So, if you are to pray for somebody, you have to pray for somebody in line to God. You have to pray for somebody in line with what God does for them. So, if I say, God bless this person, yeah, he will answer that prayer because he's a blesser. If I say, God heal this person, he will do it because he's a healer. But if I say, God kusiranya this person, God says that you're on your own. That's not my work. And you're not going to manipulate him because you're angry. Eh? Or maybe your husband left you and you, so you're angry. So you can't manipulate God. Okay? Now, whatever it is he did to you, the grace of God applies to him as much as to everybody else. But you see, some people think because you're angry, you have to recruit. And my point is, so these people were praying these weird prayers for me, communally. Now, the power of communal prayer by believers. Then I started getting accidents, boda, what? Then one day, when I realized something was terribly wrong, is I was walking out of a restaurant, going to enter a car. Somebody was giving me a lift somewhere on the roadside. And then I stepped from, you know, those things which they put for, I know there's a hole there which they put for water when it comes in and what. They dig at the roadside, those paved roads. So instead of stepping like this, I stepped right into the hole and my leg went in all the way up to here. And as you can imagine, it had very stinking water. Stinking water even stirred up the stench. And the person who was going to give me a lift said, I think you take a boda and go home. Because you can't put that stuff in somebody's car. So I'm the one who first suggested it. I said, you know what? You go. Let me find a way home. He said, yeah, I think that's a good idea. Because and then I started saying, how can I start walking, like, you know? And it was one small thing after the other. Now, if I had done something about it, that's how you hear somebody, something weird. Now, my wife told me the other day, you know, there are weird things which happen here because people have spiritual things. She was coming from dropping children, picking children from school, I think dropping them or something. Then a man was riding on a boda-boda. Then I think two dogs came chasing each other, and right there like this, he hammered them, bam! Then he fell and broke his... He was carrying somebody. Now the passenger got up very fast and was okay. But the rider, his legs were like spaghetti and completely broken them. Now that is spiritual. There is nothing. It cannot be anything else. It is spiritual. Now, when those people start praying those stupid prayers that God kusiranya somebody, the devil says, hey, okay. Because now you see you are taking away that person's protection. Because there is not a single time when believers get together and say something in unison that it does not have an impact. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now imagine if you turned that impact to somebody who is sick and said, all of you lifted up your voices and said, God heal that person. There is no, even where the person is right now, they will feel it. Amen? They will feel that something is being said. Now those ones will be answered by God because God is a healer. So when you say, God heal this person, and all of you combine your voices, we are going to do that. And all of you combine your voices in one, you know, accord. This is what says the prayer of faith will save the sick and God will lift them up from their bed. Praise the Lord. Now we are going to start doing this. If you have anybody who is sick, just come with their picture. They don't have to be here. We project the picture here and let us lift our voices and see if anybody is going to kwefisa fisa. Amen? Because, praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hey, now, all these are different methods by which God wants to do something. I mean, God heals because he wants to heal. And there is this, there is the other, there is the other. Now this one, the one of Mark chapter 2, the one of, you know, through the roof. It says the power of God was present to heal. That means Jesus healed by the anointing. But other times he did not heal by the anointing. Other times he healed by the working of miracles. You see, there is what they call the gift of working of miracles. Jesus was spitting on the ground and what? He's doing something. Okay? Now, that is, there is no anointing there. He's working miracles. Now, all throughout, and there's times where it says the power of God was present to heal. But then sometimes, a lot of times, Jesus healed and there was no power of God present to heal. He just worked a miracle. Something comes, and then he first looks at, you know. And I've seen people who have that gift of working of miracles and gifts of healing, and they come out like that. Okay, it's also Luke chapter 5. I know it in Mark chapter 7. It says, and the power of God was present to heal. Now that shows that there was an anointing specifically to heal. And I want to tell you how powerful it is that people corporately, amen, together, come up and agree on something. And they believe God for that thing. And the prayer of faith, not just a prayer, the prayer of faith, the prayer of God, you are going to heal that person. And then this one says the other and says the other and says it. If Richard said it alone, it might not work. But if all of us say it, it has to work. Praise the Lord. Because just as I've seen it working in the negative, sometimes people are praying, saying some weird prayers, and then somebody feels, you feel low. And it happens sometimes you even feel low, you feel like there's something, you know, wrong with you, and for no reason you feel miserable. Then some people are actually saying some terrible things about you. Praise the Lord. Now, are you ready to corporately pray? There is a reason I'm telling you all of this. Number one, I want you to know it's a prayer of faith. Don't just go through the motions. Number two, I want you to know that this sort of prayer is actually intercessory prayer. That means you try to feel the person's pain. You understand? When you're interceding for people who are not born again, you almost, like the real intercession, the Spirit of God gives you the same sadness, let's say, that he has over people who are not born again. And when you're praying from that place of, you know, God, you know, save them. Now that's really intercession. Now when you see in the scripture where Jesus, people come to him and he says he was moved with compassion. Very important, when you are doing intercessory prayer, you cannot be detached. You have to be involved in what you're praying about as a group. So now that was the miracle of that gentleman whose mother, I remember, whose mother and her prayer warriors said, "My son has been given 1 month to die, and these are her friends." So they said no. So they got together, and the man, the sickness just goes, it just went. The next thing he realized, he wasn't urinating blood, he was, you know, and so on. I remember I met a friend of mine from way back. I knew him from way back. A very nice guy, Toru Munyarwanda guy. But the man was good with the ladies. Like, that's what I knew him for. Every time you saw him with what? With a fresh one. Now, and he could not repeat. So, one day I met him. I was actually at Speaker Apartment. Recently, I was at Speaker Apartment. So I met him, and he came and told me, "Mukama Yebazu." So I told him, "You mad?" "Mukama Yebazu?" He said, no. "Seriously, I got born again." I said, "Are you serious?" He said, "Yes, I got born again." So we sat there, and I told him, "Tell me, how did it happen?" Because that's the one person who I, okay. So I told him, "How did it happen?" So he told me he got diabetes, type 1 diabetes. So he had to go everywhere with a needle, you know, measuring his, you know that thing, it goes high and up and down, you know, up and down. So you have to have a sweet. In case it goes down, you eat a sweet very fast. Then it goes high, then you inject yourself. Then it goes well, then you eat a sweet. Then you inject you like that's the devil. If there is like I was standing over here to kid, like the devil has arrived himself. There is no other devil. Like so, he lived that life, and it's a very, really miserable life. So he got so tired, and he had a sister who was born again, and she was praying for him to get saved. So he told her one day, just told her that if God heals me of this diabetes, I'll get born again. So the sister said, "Okay. You promise?" He said, "I promise." So she went and, you know, prayed for him. Then he woke up one day and the blood sugar was totally stable and normal. He went to the doctor. They said, "No, there's something, but nothing." They said, "Let's give you 2 weeks, nothing. Let's give you 1 month, nothing. Nothing." He even went to taking sugar and water and everything. Nothing. It went completely. So the sister told him, "You promised." So the guy, he got born again. So that's the story he told me. But you see now the sister goes. Now if we knew that, you go and tell you people, okay, there's my brother here. Let's put him on the catwalk of praying for him to get born again. I mean for him to get healed and let God do something. Now that's somebody who is not born again, who is what, who is, you know. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you know we can do that also for other things apart from healing? But you see, people are so selfish. The one thing the church has, and I'll tell you about that. Let's first, you know, I don't want you to get tired. So I want us to first pray now before you're tired and before you start thinking about taking tea and bread. Amen. you know, when it comes, starts coming to 9, you can look at people looking at you like this. And their minds there have shifted. So I want us to do this very fast. Where is that? Where is Bronnie? Did she? Where is she? Anyway, where is that picture? Whether she came or not? This one. Now, this lady here is a mother of one of us, a remnant. This picture was taken today. She has breast cancer. She's in the Cancer Institute. So I called the daughter. I heard the sound in the back, and she was groaning. She was in excruciating pain. It was bad. It's bad. So I told her, just send us the picture. Let us combine our faith here now and get this lady off this bed. Amen? And now we are going to be doing that going forward. Now, here is the thing. When you're praying for her, speak life. Rebuke cancer. Rebuke cancer, speak life, speak healing. And the most important part of faith is, remember it says the prayer of faith. Apart from words, the most important part of faith is sight. What you see, what do you see? What is it that you're seeing? Now, I want you to see this lady out of bed, going about her business, and, you know, perfectly healthy. Just visualize that in your mind. Amen? And by the way, even when you're praying for sick people, the most important part of praying for sick people is if they can see themselves well. That is the most important part. I remember in the 90s here, that man, in the 90s when AIDS was like, man, AIDS was AIDS. You have no idea. Some of you young people don't know any AIDS, have no idea. I saw the devastating effects of AIDS. Man, it was so bad. Now, then this man called Apostle Deobala Byekubo comes to Uganda and he says that God has sent him. You know, since then everybody calls themselves apostle. But now that people those days, there were no apostles, there were only pastors, evangelists. Amen? Until Bala Byekubo showed up. Then, he showed what it was. that man was, he would do, there at prayer parties, you know, in, what's that place called? Chibuye. He prayed and prayed and prayed for sick people until one lady got healed. Now, this is the power of visualization. One lady got healed. Now, she was in a terrible state. By the things that AIDS would do to people, man. Like, she was in a terrible state. Her nirvana had come out. What? Like, it would attack anywhere. It has no discipline. Because other sicknesses have some discipline. AIDS would just go anywhere. Now, she was in a terrible state. And now, what he would do is he would, when you'd come there for prayer, he first says, go for a test and bring the results. Now, some people didn't need a test. The lips are red. They have big pimples all over. They look like their shoulders is a hanger. You know, like their coat is hanging on a hanger. Anyway, but he said go for the test. So they would go for a test, and of course they would come out positive. Now he needed that. So then one lady who was in a terrible state, they take pictures. Then she went and got healed. Then she turned around. Then she became fat and beautiful. You know, like, then now what he did, once he got the one, that helped all the others. Because when people would go there sick, he shows them, you see this lady here? This is her. You understand? He first shows you there when she's in Anyiridabwati. Very light-skinned, brown, very nice, beautiful. They say, have you seen her? Hey, this is her. Then you see, So now suddenly your mind is full of, this is what God can actually do. Now, immediately, the death sentence that was on you, hanging on you, you start thinking there is hope. Then he shows you the positive results. Then he shows you three negative. You tell him, go and test three times. So he has three negative results. Three positive results, three negative results. And then a picture of before and after. And man, suddenly people who had come there, they have no hope once they see that. And now the first person God healed was a spectacular man. The way she turned out after healing. She even got married and now, you know, you've had kids and all that. You know? It was a really spectacular healing. But they used her healing to get the death sentence off so many people. Visuals. When they would tell you, immediately you start seeing a grave. You see, the visuals are very, very powerful. Now, when you see that, no, it doesn't have to be a grave. There is hope. Now, after that, they started getting healed. Many, you'd even number them. Number one, number 50, number 100. Until eventually, they became so many, he stopped numbering them. But it was just visuals. Somebody comes, they show you, Omulabion, this was her. Yajabwati, katiwuno. Ono yajabwati, katiwuno. Then people suddenly get faith. Then you would be there with them praying fast. That man would fast for like 3 years. Like the man was just crazy. He was fasting, and I think there's not a time like he ate during the day. And sometimes you do it like he was so like until he broke the back of. Now you see people move with HIV and it's not a big deal, but that time, because of the visuals now. Anything, when you see something, it becomes so easy for you to enter into it. Now, I want you to see this lady up and about. Amen? Amen? And we have to stand in for her. Remember that gentleman whose mother and I pray. Now you are her, you know, whatever. You are going to combine your faith. And I want you to see her coming here to testify. Just see it. When you're praying, see it. Speak life, speak health, speak well-being. Okay? Intercede. Pray, call in tongues. We are not going to take a long time. And like that. And be involved. Like, don't just, you know, eh? Like, that's, even Jesus had to be moved with compassion. You see, now that's a very powerful part of the healing. Remember the lady in Luke who came, he goes and he finds where they are carrying the body of her son. And she was weeping because he was the only son. And says Jesus was, when he looked at them and what he was moved with compassion, then he told them stop. And then, now it's the compassion that brings out the energy from him. He looks and sees people, you know, and he's moved with compassion. Even Lazarus, when he knew he was going to die, he still cried. I mean, when he knew he was going to resurrect, raise him from the dead, he still cried because he sees what death is. He sees all these people mourning and what. So he's moved with compassion. Then he sees Mary and Martha, who are his friends, saying, Lord, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. Then he's just moved with compassion. And yet he knows he's going to raise him from the dead. But just the emotion. Now, when you're praying for somebody who is sick, I want you to get involved. Put in feeling. Okay? Amen? Are you ready? Are you ready? Now, I want you to look at this lady. I asked that, whatever, to give me a picture. Just look at it. Now, this is going to be a template. We are going forward. If anybody is sick, you know what it says, come to your congregation, your people, and say, my person is sick, I am sick, or whatever, and let's pray for you. And you are going to see. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. There is healing in this house.
There is healing in this house. Healing in this house. Manifested peace to come. You troubled hearts with healing balm. There is healing in this house. Restoration in this place.
Okay, now start
to see. Oh, your heavy laden come. Bring your burdens one by one. Bring them here where they belong. There is healing in these arms.
In the name of Jesus, we decree here, agree with me, everybody, that it is well with joy.
Amen.
We rebuke cancer.
Amen.
We rebuke death.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ reaches out to her where she is in the cancer ward and touches her. And that cancer vanishes in the name of Jesus. And she's raised up from that place, well and whole in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And every other sickness is taken away, is healed in the name of Jesus, and it is well with her, it is well with joy in the name of Jesus. Amen. Because we speak healing. We speak healing. Somebody say, we speak healing.
We speak healing.
Say it again.
We speak healing.
Say, we speak wholeness.
We speak wholeness.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
To her.
To her.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, I think it was Tuesday, Wednesday morning, like night, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. I was there tossing and turning in bed and struggling to sleep. So I just decided to get out of bed and go on my balcony and start praying. So I started wondering what next year is going to be like for us, what God is going to be doing next year. Then he started showing me a number of things which I'm going to go through very fast here. First of all, we are blessed to be alive at this time. Amen. Now, it might not look like that. It might not have looked like that before, but that is the truth as we speak right now. It is the absolute truth that there is not going to be a more exciting time to be alive than the one we are in. Praise the Lord. Because the coming to, on top, the mountain of the Lord's house, is now really getting into shape. Of course, words are spoken, and as you know, spirit thinks something is given ahead, you know, and it is pronounced as a reality in the spirit. But sometimes it takes time for it to manifest on earth. But now it is manifesting big, big time here for us. And the Lord has kept us alive for this reason. Amen? Praise the Lord. For this reason, for this time, for such a time as it. Go to Psalm 66, start from verse 8. So he says, "Oh, bless our God, you people, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard." Go to the next verse. "Who keeps our soul among the living?" And now, you know, I know about this, keeping your soul among the living. Because as I've told you before, there's been so many times when the enemy would have taken me out. So many times. Sometimes I've come really, really close. Very, very close. There was a time the devil even was speaking to me loudly, and I would hear him. "He was telling me, why don't you just give up and die?" I had his voice telling me, "Just give up." And he was even telling me about heaven. He says, "Can you imagine if you just give up now, in a split, you'll be walking on the Paris streets of heaven and, you know, yeah, in bliss." Like, it was so tempting because I was not in a good place at all. It was very tempting. And if I just said yes, I would not be here. Amen? Now, you have to know that as a believer, you cannot die unless you've accepted to die. You cannot die unless you've accepted to die. Jesus says, "No one takes my life. I give it on my own." That is true for you as well. Amen? You cannot, if you say, "I'm not going to die," everything will come along. And you have to remember that your life was given to you by the breath of God, not by your body. Your body, without the breath of God, had no life. It was just clay, which God used. Then when he breathed the breath of life, then your body became alive, and you became a living soul. So what happens to your body does not determine whether you die or not. Do you understand? Your death is not determined by your body. That is for those people out there, that they shot you and your body decided you switch off. No. You can finish your own magazine. So if I say I'm not going to die, something would happen and the body would have to adjust. Because my spirit has to be somewhere. And I've not yet given it up. So it has to be somewhere. So body, sort yourself out. I am not giving up. But the minute you give up, I'm telling you that time, I heard the devil's voice clear. "Just give up. In a short time, you'll be in heaven." Man, that sounded good. And I actually even thought about it for a while. I'm telling you, I thought about it for a while, then I said, "No. I still have a lot of things to do here. First of all, I will not even be in the place in heaven where I want to be. I don't want to be in those, what? First heaven, where you can even see aeroplanes from the earth." I want to be those ends. Because you see some people, you're going to heaven, which is glorious, but then you'll never be able to go where Apostle Paul is. Because for you, you'll be in Chirasha. Now, it's not good to be in Chirasha on earth. It's not good to be in Chirasha on what? Heaven. It's good to be in heaven. But now, those people can come to you. So if Apostle Paul wanted to see you, he can come down and say, "Akena, how is life here?" Yeah, but for you, you can't go up because the glory is to her. Anyway, my point is, so I said, those are yours, I'm not going to die. And now the funny thing is, the minute I said no, my body started amending. But I was in a bad place. So anyway, my point is, who keeps our souls among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved or to be, there's another word it used, to slide, does not allow our feet to slide. Go to the next verse. Who keeps our soul among the living? Praise the Lord. It says, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined." Now, I want to tell you that, like, we really have been refined. Because I see people here, and you've gone through tough, tough times, but it was just a refining process. And it was a bad time. A tough time. And anything could have happened. You could have despaired and what. It says, "But you have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined, so that we are pure. Now our faith is pure." And the scripture says that, well, our faith is pure because it has been tried in all sorts of ways. Then he goes on to say in the next verse that you brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. Now this is talking about the Lord, not the devil. He says, you brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. Praise the Lord. This is part of the testing. Verse 12. You have caused men to ride over our heads. Now, some of you know these things. You understand? We are like, there seems to be no justice. Men have, things have happened. You've caused men to ride over what? Over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, but you brought us out to reach fulfillment. Now, you go to another, you brought us out to reach fulfillment. Now, the time for reach fulfillment is now, praise the Lord. Reach fulfillment. Amen? We've been through the fire, we've been through the testing, we've been through what? The time for reach fulfillment is now. Now, reach means rich. Amen? Rich means what? Rich means rich. But okay, elsewhere it says abundant fulfillment. That also, you go to, let's say, Amplified and say, as well, you made us men, charity, ride over our heads in defeat. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a broad place of abundance to be refreshed. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm telling you that when it turns out that somehow you end up in a place of abundance, there's going to be so many people who would think that you just landed there. But they don't understand. Men have ridden over your head. You've been through what? Water, through fire and what? Now, and all that is for the purpose of this, to bring you into a broad place of abundance so that you are refreshed. Praise the Lord. The story cannot be complete until you end up in abundance, until you end up in rich fulfillment. So the story of the suffering, that is just like, you know, preamble. The real conclusion is this. Brought us into an abundance, a place of abundance, to be refreshed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now I was asking him what do we expect next year? And then he was impressing it on me that we have had a lot of things together, sporadic, here and there as a church. You know, here, there, and, you know, all sorts of, some success here, some failures here, and so many things. But we have been very disjointed as a church. You know that. Amen? Each one pursuing his own agenda, and each one writing his own version of success. So somebody's success is, I want to have so many people in my church. Another person's success is, I want to do this. Each one, all those things being, you know, people being independent, pursuing their own success. But you see, the real success is going to come when we are paired together. Okay? Now, that pairing together is what he told me is going to be about next year. You know? Pairing, or what I would call partnerships, meaningful partnerships. So that somebody has this, another person has the other, then the Lord brings them together, and together they can do something powerful. Let's say you have an idea, there's somebody who has money, but doesn't have ideas. Then, you know, the partnership is forged in heaven, and it brings out something powerful. That's just an example. But now that is because, you see, that scripture in Ezekiel 37, the one of the valley of the dry bones, talks about an end-time army, okay? It talks about so many things. It talks about Israel, but also talks about the end-time army, okay? Which is very important. It says they became a great army. Now, this great army is going to be the army of this end time, okay? Which is spoken about also in Joel chapter 2. We'll read there. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. We have to go through very fast. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Verse 3. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Verse 4. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Now go ahead. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Now, very important, before there is flesh, before there is life, the bones have to first come together. Now, imagine a scenario where there are so many bones all over, but before there is life, before there is even flesh, first of all, the whole skeleton has to be rebuilt. So maybe one leg is the other side, the hand is the other side, the shoulder is the other side, and now the rattling happens, and they all come and forge together. So the bones for different, you know, parts of the body come and join together, and now at least they form dry bones still, but still now a complete skeleton. Very important. Before anything else happens, now the skeleton is complete altogether. Before then, he goes on to prophesy, and then they get flesh, and then he goes on to prophesy, then they get life, which will not go there. But then he says, then they became a great army. This is the army, the end time army. Talking about the church, okay? But first, the coming together. Because you see, the one thing that has eluded the church has been unity. So much, so much. When you try saying church unity, it becomes a snare. People use it for all sorts of reasons. I remember there was a time when somebody came up with the idea of National Fellowship of Born Again Churches. On the outside, it sounds good, but it's only good when it's God's timing, because after that, people started fighting for the leadership of it, and then it eventually became a means by which Museveni controls the church. Like, if it's not done in the timing of God, okay, controls and subdues them and makes them do his bidding. Very, very sad. Okay? Now, if it's not done in the right time, you'll go and gather yourselves and somebody will come and, you know, pick you up. Or then you start fighting amongst yourself. And then you end up going to the heathen to sort you out. Pastor so-and-so wants to be the head. No, the other person wants to be the head. Then eventually you start, this one says, I've started my own. I've also started my own. Then what was supposed to be unity becomes serious division. And now that has been one of the biggest issues with the church. But now we are getting to that place where actually unity will work. Amen? And it will be not the whole church united. You see, eh? Because we can only be united in purpose. But it will be those who are supposed to be with you to make you, your purpose come out will be brought to you supernaturally. So a bone will show up from somewhere. Now for you, some bone may be a femur, if you studied biology. But some of you are seeing stars. Then you need a jaw. Because they cannot be flesh when you don't have a jaw. So the bones come and connect. Now this is, you know, very powerful and forms the whole body. Now this has been a big issue among the church. Now eventually it says here, okay, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. This is the end time army, praise the Lord, which is going to run over everything ahead of us. Okay? Go to Joel chapter 2. He says, I'm in a hurry. I'm also thinking about bread and what? And tea. And the Lord gives voice to his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Now, this also speaks in parables, because this army was you're talking about were locusts. Okay? But actually, it's talking about the entire army. The Lord gives voice before you. Okay, God. Eh? For strong is the one who executes his word. Go to verse 7. First of all, verse 7. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. That's also a very powerful part of this end time army. You see, one of the things we had to learn as a church is what they call ranks. Because you see, when the church is secularized, people think everybody is equal. We are all washed in the blood of Jesus. Yeah, there's no such thing. Okay? You're equal in salvation and but you're not equal in authority. Authority is given of God, and some people are given more authority. So now, until you learn how not to break the ranks, and everyone knows where their rank is, then we shall form the end time. Amen. Now the time is now, because people are beginning to understand the power of authority. Okay? Now in Jude, talks about, in 2 Peter and Jude, he talks about people who speak evil about dignitaries. Okay? And then talks about the archangel Michael, who could not say anything against the devil. Because apparently the devil was ahead of him before he fell. And the devil falls with his rank. He does not become any less of a rank, even if he's cut off. So even Michael cannot say anything against the devil. He says, the Lord rebuke you. That's what Jude was saying. Amen? Then he says, but some of these people, they don't know what they are doing. So they go and speak evil of dignitaries. Now there are some people whom you can't speak evil of. And you remain, I'm telling you, and you remain the same. And you think you can, of course you know it's democratic, but there is no democracy here. This is a kingdom. So anyway, we had to what? They say, likewise, also these dreamers defy the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. He's not talking about heavenly dignitaries. He's talking about earthly dignitaries. There are people who, even if they slap you, don't say anything. Now you're going to look at me badly. But I'm telling you the truth. Because, and now I'll tell you this. If they misuse the authority, God will judge them. But for you, you have no place in it whatsoever. You know, somebody went to Ethiopia, came and told me, man, Ethiopia has very beautiful women. I said, I know. Even the prophet Moses married one. And people came and what? And got angry with him. How can you marry an Ethiopian? And God came and gave them Chiboko. How can you speak about my prophet? Because he married a hot Ethiopian. Now, but you know it's the truth. Eh? Now, the issue is not that right and wrong. Here, that right and wrong doesn't matter. The issue is it's not your place to point out what is wrong with what? With the other person. They are ahead of you. Just shut up. Like if you put yourself in a place where you think, now, but just go back there. That's besides the point. He says, they know those things of Miriam and what? Huh? And how God, and man, then Moses pleads, God, please, my man, take the leprosy away. Then God is so pissed, okay, that he says, at least let it stay for one day. In the evening, it will go. I'm not going to take it away immediately. And now the person whom they spoke against is the one who is pleading for them. But God says, no, at least let them spend one day in it. In the evening, they can come back into the camp. So they are chased. And when you are leprosy, they just chase you out. Go. You're going to praise the Lord. Anyway, they run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. Can you think this of the church today? But I'm telling you, we are getting there, and we are getting there very, very fast. Although this is talking about locusts, but I know it's talking about the end time army. Nobody breaks ranks. They do not push one another. Can you imagine a church which is like that, where pastors are not fighting one another? Is that even imaginable in your mind? But you see, we are getting there. But now, you know what we have. Somebody comes, jumps on. Then starts saying things, then the whole church is, yeah, man. And they are talking rubbish about another pastor. There are preachers who come and there is not a single scripture that they use. Not one. They come and talk about what about politics and what. I also talk about politics, but I use scripture. Praise the Lord. But since somebody can come and talk, anyway, let me leave there because I'll be doing what they do. He says now, they said they do not push one another. Is that even possible? Everyone marches in his own column. Can you imagine that? A church where everyone is sticking to his own column, like they are in order reformation. Man, that sounds almost unbelievable. But we are getting there. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. Anyway, let's stop it there. Now, my point is this. Partnerships. Okay? Meaningful, God-given partnerships, which are going to bring your dream to pass. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Where you have something, somebody else has something. Somebody within the church has something, and God brings you together and aligns you. The words I had are partnership and alignment. Those are the words I had. Partnership and alignment. Okay? And God aligns you properly that you walk on the path where I won't meet everybody who is going to be of consequence to your destiny. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is people who are going to carry you and take you to your destiny, as you also carry them and take them to their destiny. Now, this is a very important part of the... You know, there are scriptures which like seem to describe something which is so ordinary, and you don't even take them seriously until you actually go and meditate on them. Like 1 Corinthians, I'm about to finish. Like 1 Corinthians 12. I'll end here. It says, 1 Corinthians 12:12, talks about the body and how it has to work. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, I want you to understand, okay, we talk about the body of Christ, but has it ever really behaved like a body? I mean, seriously, from viewing just with your naked eye. Like, because you see, it says, he goes on here to say, in the body, if one part is hurt, the other part also hurts as well. If you knock your toe, your head cannot say, I don't care. It's also, you know, every part of you is... If you have a headache, every part of you is whatever. So you're working as one. There is no one which says, there's no part of your body which says, ah, that's yours. Those are yours. Okay? If you chop your hand when you're cutting onions, every part of the body is affected. Now, this, he goes on to explain this, seems very simple, but it is very powerful. Very, very powerful. And now we are going to see what the body is, the body, real body is, where we are working together. Now he says, each one has different functions in the body. He says some have gifts of healing, some have gifts of teaching, some have gifts of prophecy, some are apostles, some are what? But they have to work as a body. Now, when we start working as a body, if an apostle suffers, everybody suffers with it according to the way God is supposed to design it. But see now, the church almost works like the kingdom of darkness. Almost. Where people celebrate the other's downfall. You know, that's how it is in the kingdom of darkness. Actually, you get promoted by destroying somebody who is near you. So if somebody has powers, you destroy them and then you take their powers and you go high. Then you go high. It's just based on, there is no love, there is nothing. It's just pure competition. That's the kingdom of darkness. The trouble is, a bit of those things seep into the church. But now God is, there is a refining that is happening. More and more, we'll see people seeing that we can actually achieve a lot of success working together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I remember during COVID, I was here making noise that they should open the churches. Why should they open arcades and everything else but except churches? Of course, COVID, you know, was the devil trying to take control of the world. So the number one thing he was against was churches. Remember when they even said that children under 14 should not go to church? You remember that? Now, if God hadn't moved on our behalf, which organize? Do you see? That's the way to kill everything. Do you see those? I'll give you an example. Long ago, when we used to go and watch football here in Achivubo and all that, children were allowed in free of charge. A child of a certain age goes in free of charge. Now, that was wisdom. Because this person who goes in free of charge is going to get attached, is going to get emotional, and at some stage, they will no longer be a child and they will pay. Then some stupid person came and said, also children should pay. That's the end. Now, do you see people watching that football any longer? Now, do you see those children who the Premier League clubs carry and what? They all enter free of charge because they know eventually these are the people who are going to become fans of these clubs and they eventually are going to pay. So, children, everything has to... Now, do you know they actually said that children should start paying? So now you find children of a certain age, they don't know local clubs. They only know Arsenal. But those days, my father used to take me to watch KCC and what? It all died away because somebody thought they can make more money. And that's the thing with Africans. Eh? Nobody looks so far away sometimes. Okay, not all the time. Anyway, excuse me. Because the children would come and enter free of charge and I would even put them in a certain place. And they watch from there. I remember there was this guy called, you remember Abedi Pele, the Ghanaian guy. When he came here one day, they asked him that who are the three greatest African players that he has ever seen, that he knows about. And you know, one of the players was Uganda's Philip Omondi. Then we told him, are you just saying that because you are in Uganda or what? He said, no, I was one of the best players in under 10 or under 12. in 1978 when Ghana hosted the Africa Cup of Nations. And the reward was to go and watch the Africa Cup of Nations. And I saw Philip Omondi. He said, when I grew up, they were calling me Philip Omondi. Because that's how they, now you see, children, that's where the future is now. The guy said, when I was growing up, nobody was calling me Abedi. They used to call me Philip Omondi. Now, anyway, my point is, let me go back to where I was, COVID. So they were saying, no children going to church. Now, of course, that would kill the church. And that was the purpose of it all. Know this. Now, when I came out and I was fighting it seriously, going through the media and what and doing all that, paying people to come and do interviews with me when I was saying that the president should open church, then at some stage they said, no, pastors should come and we give them some money because they are not getting tithe. Then I came out and said, you're all stupid. We don't want your money. Just open the churches because they are trying to have control over you. Now, the problem is I was alone. The next thing, some top pastor calls me and says, come. So I thought, finally, I have people to fight with me. So I went there. I've never been so depressed as when. When I got there, the guy had been given conditions by Minister of Health by which the churches should open. That's number one, over chairs should be how many meters apart. Number two, they should record whoever sat on the chair. Give every chair a number and record this one as church. Thomas Mwanawa could not sat in chair number 10. So that if Thomas tests for COVID tomorrow, all the people who are around him, all of them are... I listen to the guys and then they say, you have to do this, then you have to... No singing because saliva. They were saying that. And that's a pastor telling me that. Like, I looked and said, man, like, how did you... And I sat there. Then obviously they had given him money to put the church in bondage. So I sat there. Then afterwards they served breakfast. I said, I'm not eating this. I can't eat this. So they wanted to interview people. So and they were interested in interviewing me because I was the one who was known to be anti. So they said, no, come here. I said, no, I'm not going on your cameras. You're going to go and use me to go and go to Minister of Health and get money. As if now you've also made me agree. Amen? Let me tell you some of you people, let me tell you something. If I even said that now I'm agreeing with vaccination, do you know how much money I would get? Those people are getting money from Bill Gates and saying, if there is a way we can get Kabuleta to agree with us. Because now people listen to me. They started abusing me, now they all listen to me. Now somebody on radio, somebody came and said, what do you have to say? If you tell us to go, we'll go. Now I go to my... Now they cannot... Let me tell you, with this malaria vaccine, they went to the village and people were chasing them away with the fimbo. And they were saying, because of me. Okay, I didn't even know I reached the village. No, but that's what the Minister of Health was saying. People were chasing them away with the fimbo. Go. It was so serious that actually one day, I went to Mbarara, then we branched somewhere to have a cup of coffee. Then this lady came and said, I said, so people were listening here. They were listening. Now, if I could just go and say, okay, now you can eat Bill Gates' money, just put for me some money here. They would do it very comfortably. Very, very, very comfortably. Because if I went and said vaccination is good, you would see. Because people have come to the point of trusting me. But imagine now if I was for sale. They went and put a law that 6 months in prison. I said, come for me. That for fighting government programs. I said, it's okay. Come for me. And I know I put my words. Praise the Lord. Now the church, we are pushing in this direction. They are pushing the other direction. But now God is going to put us together. Amen. Amen. We are pushing for churches to be opened. Some are saying we should number seats. We are pushing for... Somebody was telling me, one of us here, that... They just went and talked to pastors. Tell your people to be vaccinated. So the pastor came to preach. Well, anybody who is not vaccinated, otherwise you're not going to minister. And they are sending people to death. To death. Into Bill Gates' trap. But anyway, thank God, Bill Gates now even ran away from America, I'm told. Because of Trump. Let me tell you, those people, that Fauci, that is the man behind the HIV. All these people are talking about, that is Fauci. That's Fauci. I wish they lock him up and they throw the kids somewhere very far. All the people who died of HIV, that man. But the devil, his time is up. Huh? Those people went and put research, then they got the HIV thing and put it in a vaccine. You know, they put it in a smallpox vaccine. And I read that in a British newspaper. It was published in May 1987. The Times of London. Small HIV vaccine put in smallpox. So they went and vaccines have been fake for a long time. I don't think they just started with COVID. They have been fake. So they put in smallpox vaccine. Then people started getting HIV in Africa. Are we the biggest benzi more than the Bazungu? How come for them they were not getting it? Because for us they spread it among here. Then they were saying it came from a monkey in the Congo. You remember that? But the people who stay near the monkeys in Congo, not a single one of them had HIV. And people who are staying in the cities where there are no monkeys are the ones who had what? It was just fake. And that is that Fauci. But he has been found out. But during COVID, Fauci said, anyway, I'm overshooting. I'm angry. But the truth is, imagine if I was for sale. I could go and tell those people, give me money, and I would tell people, they would give it to me. Amen? Yeah, next time, like, imagine. Praise the Lord. That's why the first thing you're going to do before you really, really start serving God is you have to look at the eternal perspective. Okay? Like, if you look at the perspective here, for me, I'm looking at there, my reward, my heavenly reward. I don't think we even have more than, okay, if we stretch it 30 years here, stretching it before the rapture, then afterwards is eternity. Amen? Now, if I started thinking about here and now, there are so many things I would do. Even in politics, there are so many things I would do. Amen? And like, it's about there. Like, you can't, there's nothing you can convince me that I give up some. Now imagine I went and took, and then they start killing people's children. That would be the end of me. I would put a rope in myself and die. Like, I can't. Like, how do I live like that? I cannot. You see, eh? First of all, God has given me money without them. Amen? Am I starving? Am I badly off? Smart, ain't I? Let me even finish. Yes. I look very good. Eh? I don't even look my... No, I'm joking. Eh? I'm still in Boko. But my point is that eternal perspective. Amen? Never give up what is there for what is here. Like that, I think even that's why I sang that. Nothing compares to the promise that we have in him. Nothing. Nothing compares to the promise that we have in him. Absolutely nothing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Now we are waiting for testimonies of healing. Eh? Who did we pray for last time? Who are the relatives we prayed for last time? They did come. Prayed for who? For who? For your mom. How is she?
She's.
Do you have her picture?
Yes, I do.
You give it to them and project it here. And okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, everybody's okay. We are finishing on the 13th. So we are left with two more fellowships. And I'm going to be here for both of them. Two until 13th, then we go for what? For Christmas. Okay, we'll go for holidays. Amen? But also have to go and pray. But now I'm telling you a bit of what you're supposed to be believing God for. Partnerships and alignment. For next year. Anyway, never mind. You come here. We pray for. We use you as our point of contact. Now, for we are going to thank God for our healing, for our speedy recovery. Thank God that she's recovering speedily. In the name of Jesus. Just pray in tongues, everybody. What's her name?
She's called Prosy.
Prosy. Okay, you start interceding for Prosy. What What's she suffering from?
Her legs.
Her legs. Okay, in the name of Jesus, speak healing upon her legs and strength. In the name of Jesus, Father, we speak healing upon Prose and strength in her legs. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, because she is lifted up, because your word says the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if they've committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them. Therefore, we stand on that scripture, Father, in the name of Jesus, and lift up Sandra's mother in Jesus' name, and we proclaim that it is well with her. It is well with her. Her legs receive strength and healing in the name of Jesus, and the swelling subsides in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, because it is done. It is done because we speak health and wholeness upon proceeds.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we are finished anyway. God bless you.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabal Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.